Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. We're going to dig into some of the problems that are being caused by all of this digging for gold. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is March 28th, 2013. We're on day two of our World article that you can find on pages 38 and 39 in your Advanced magazine, Quest for Gold Brings Conflict. And this is an interesting behind-the-scenes look at the rest of the story. Gold jewelry is beautiful. Everybody likes to see that gold necklaces and earrings and rings and all sorts of things in gold, and it's the bling bling. And in some ways, our cultures kind of like glorify this, and we envy people that have a lot of gold and money, but there is a price to pay, and unfortunately, the price that's being paid is being paid by poor people in other parts of the world, and they're the ones that are suffering for this rising demand in gold. So we're going to take a look at some of the consequences of that. We learned a little bit yesterday about some of the background. We're going to dig into it a little bit more in detail today. Back for day two are my two panelists, Brian Hagerle and Joanna Wirtz. Hi, panelists.
Hello.
Before we move into today, I want to get a thought from yesterday from both of you, whether it's a concept we discussed or maybe a key word that we can just review for our listeners. So first, let me check with Brian.
Hi, Bill. I really like that word yesterday we learned, the phrase steering a gold bug among the miners, that they really have almost like a fever to go after this gold and almost makes them blind, it seems, maybe to some of the consequences you mentioned.
Yeah. All right.
Well, yesterday we also learned about who exactly is arousing the anger. At first, you might think it's those big-name corporations, but we're learning it's not always them. Sometimes it's the individuals in the small companies.
Yeah, you mentioned something interesting, Joanna, because it's very easy to turn on the news or look on the internet and see people protesting the big companies. They're protesting against Microsoft for some of their policies, maybe protesting Foxconn for their policies, or maybe protesting Exxon. But these are the easy targets. They're the big companies. There's a lot of other smaller companies in this world that are actually able to kind of go around the rules and not have attention heaped upon them. And so that's what we're looking into here. That's what's really affecting the people, particularly in Latin America. It's the unknown companies that are just coming out of nowhere because they hear about gold.
That's right. And they don't have PR branches of their companies, so they don't have to deal with making themselves look good.
And a lot of times they can come in for a short period of time and then just disappear. They can come in, make money, disappear. They have really no concern about following laws or rules, and are certainly not concerned about the citizens in these places. So this stuff happens actually in many situations, whether it's digging for gold or whether it's diamonds that are bought in Africa, southern parts of Africa, conflict diamonds, or if it is the timber that's being cut down in Indonesia and some of the rainforests in Indonesia being destroyed because of the demand for certain types of timber for nice furniture, or if it's for animal parts. So there's all sorts of demands in the world for these specialty items. We really need to consider the consequences on the people and the animals and the nature. Then we need to look at things and say, maybe I don't need that gold ring, or I don't need that nice piece of ivory on my desk, or I don't need that teak furniture that it will just make my living room perfect. So there's a lot of things we probably can do without, and we each have a part in this. Now, turn to page 39, and what we're going to do today is break our reading down into three sections. So let's have the first one there. It'll be there on the left column. A
a better way. Mercury contamination by small-scale miners has prompted leaders of some countries, like Nicaragua's Daniel Ortega, to seek out experienced mining companies using less harmful methods involving cyanide that avoid the use of mercury. One of the beneficiaries is Hemco Nicaragua, a private company employing 900 people at its gold mines. "We're using traditional leaching methods," said Chairman Randall Martin. "Cyanide has a very short lifespan. Mercury is a heavy metal and stays around forever." Like many foreign-owned mining companies, Hemco has put emphasis on investing in the communities where it operates, eager to foster good relations. "We build a kindergarten. We build a computer lab for the community," Martin said. "It's about the only place in Nicaragua where everybody that comes out of high school has taken a computer course."
Yesterday, we finished talking about Peru's Madre de Dios jungles, where wildcat miners are tearing up the forests, which is bad enough, but then they're also dumping mercury in rivers in their quest for gold. And we did mention that mercury is it's an essential element, but also it's very poisonous to human beings. So, and mercury poison can come in a lot of different forms, but if this stuff is being dumped in the rivers or even poured on the ground, eventually it goes into the water source people get their drinking water from, and then it can lead to contamination, cancer, and ultimately, especially liver and kidney problems, leading to death. So we're going to pick up with this theme, talking about this mercury problem in this section, A Better Way.
Well, it's prompted some leaders of some countries like Nicaragua's Daniel Ortega to look for experienced mining companies that are using less harmful methods, like using cyanide, that are avoiding the use of mercury.
Okay, so we see small-scale miners, and again, I mentioned these are the smaller unknown companies. I used the example yesterday, if I started my own company, Bill Quinn Mining, and maybe I only employ, 20 or 30 people, I'm just a small company, I hire some guys locally, don't pay them too much, and I can come in and go out in a very short period of time and really disappear, and if I know that, I'm not going to spend the money on protecting the environment. I'm just going in. I'm going out. Right, Brian?
That's right. You're going to get in, get out, get that gold, and get out of there.
Yeah. Well, we see here that Nicaragua's president, Daniel Ortega, what he has sought are experienced mining companies. They do what?
Well, they tend to use less harmful methods than the smaller companies. They have more options, so they can use cyanide, which is still a poison, but it has less harmful effects in the long run on the environment.
Kind of an odd selection, right? Well, let's not use mercury. Let's use cyanide.
Right. Two poisons. Take your pick.
Yeah. Actually, cyanide has notoriously been known over history as a poison used to kill people. It is actually used to kill rats. It is used in rat poison. There is a way of using cyanide in, I would say, watered-down or thinner versions that are better. And they can use that instead of mercury to process the gold. So we continue then in Nicaragua.
Well, one of the beneficiaries or a person or a group who receives money or other benefits as a result of something else, one of these beneficiaries is Hemco Nicaragua, which is a private company, has about 900 people employed at its mines.
Okay, they are a beneficiary of the improved standards that the government is saying, hey, you need to know how to do this the right way. So they're benefiting from this because maybe they have processes in place to protect the environment. We actually hear from a Hemco Nicaragua representative in the next paragraph.
That's right. We hear from the Hemco company chairman, Randall Martin, and he says that his company is using traditional leaching methods. So leaching is the way that the gold is extracted or pulled out of the rocks in these mines. They pass a certain liquid that has a cyanide in it, and this kind of pulls the gold out through a chemical reaction.
Okay. And he continues by saying cyanide has a very short lifespan, but
But mercury, on the other hand, is a heavy metal, and it stays around forever. So it doesn't disintegrate. It doesn't lose its poisonous power, potency, you might say. Yeah. It just stays mercury for forever.
Thousands of years. I actually was reading about mercury being discovered in where the Egyptian mummies were buried. They had used mercury for something, and actually it was still in its form as it was originally placed in there. And this was thousands and thousands of years ago. So it still was just as potent.
Wow.
Several thousands, 3,000-4,000 years later.
That's scary.
While cyanide is a poison, it's not as bad as mercury that you just cannot get rid of. It's almost like nuclear radiation in a way. That's the same thing. It just stays around forever. Now, we continue reading about Hemco in the next paragraph.
That's right. Hemco, like other foreign-owned mining companies who have more employees, they use more professional methods, has put an emphasis on investing in the communities where it operates, eager to foster or to create or build good relationships with the villagers.
Interesting. Interesting statement there. Like many foreign-owned mining companies. Actually, I could see this. What is happening is, to get a permit to operate within the country, the foreign-owned mining companies, they're going to have to pass certain, you know, certifications. They've got to go through governmental authorization, and there will be some standards to pass. There also will be public pressure on the government to keep the foreign companies at a certain level. What happens a lot of times is the local companies, the small-scale operators, are the ones cutting the corners. And this is everywhere. This is everywhere. It's not just in Nicaragua. It's everywhere. The smaller local ones know how to beat the system. A lot of times they may have connections with the local representatives, the local political representatives. They can cut corners. Whereas the larger, the foreign firms, they've got to be more formal in how they approach things. So not surprising, Hemco has been putting an emphasis on investing in the communities, which is great. Decades ago, foreign companies didn't do it. Times have changed. At least now the foreign companies are investing in the communities, not just taking stuff out. And then we continue in the next paragraph hearing about some of this investing from Randall Martin.
Well, they did several things to help the community around them. They built a kindergarten. They built a computer lab for the community. And, you know, in developing countries, this is a huge step forward for them. How can people get out of poverty if they can't compete even a little in the regular first world market? And computer use is a huge factor in that.
A school. They built a kindergarten. Most of these villages don't even have schools. Many of the people don't even go to school.
That's right.
So this is tremendous. Then that computer lab, which Joanna mentioned, the villagers too poor to be affording computers. And now if they have computers, the kids can actually keep pace. They can keep pace with the rest of the world, at least learn about the rest of the world through the internet. So, and Randall Martin kind of talks about that here in his final quote in this section.
Yeah, he says that this community is about the only place in Nicaragua where everybody that comes out or graduates from high school has taken a computer course. So, yeah, they're having a chance to compete there on a regional, even global level thanks to this win-win situation.
Yeah, that's what Joanna was talking about. Let's move them from just being a third world nation to actually getting them to first world. And the first step really is the education of their youth and giving them a fair chance in life. So that is a good thing that is coming from this mining. Okay, let's continue with our next section.
Digging up conflict. Relations between foreign mining companies and local communities have been far from smooth in El Salvador and Guatemala, where battles pitting villagers against companies are portrayed as David versus Goliath struggles. Mayans living near Guatemala's giant Marlin gold mine, one of the most productive in the hemisphere, say the Goldcorp mine has brought health, environmental, and human rights woes. Acting on behalf of 18 villages around the mine, The Inter-American Commission on Human Rights asked in 2010 for Guatemala to suspend mine operations. Neither the state nor Goldcorp complied.
Well, we just read about a success story there in Nicaragua. Now we move to something less encouraging in neighboring countries.
That's right. Not all the companies are exactly like Hemco. It says that relations between the foreign mining companies and local communities have been far from smooth in El Salvador and Guatemala. So the relationships there are rocky. There's friction, which we learned yesterday, between these communities and some of the larger foreign mining companies.
Okay, neighboring countries to Nicaragua and politically unstable and also quite poor, El Salvador and Guatemala. And what this does is with the instability and the lack of income creates things where there are lots of compromises being made, not always good for the citizens. So we've got these battles pitting villagers against companies, and it's described as what, Joanna?
As David versus Goliath struggles. Some of you may know the David versus Goliath story from the Bible, where David was a small shepherd boy going out to fight Goliath, this huge, huge warrior at another opposing army. And, of course, it looked like David wouldn't win.
Yeah. Yeah, so the villagers are the Davids in this case. They're the small shepherd boys. They're the people without the weapons, without the power, and they're taking on the large wealthy companies. So that's why the companies are portrayed as the Goliath, the giant. It looks like a lose situation. Looks like a losing situation for the villagers.
It
right?
really does. I don't know if they can find that one smooth stone like David to fell the large company.
Yeah, yeah. And we see an example here of villagers. We see the Mayans, and they're living near – where are they living, Joanna?
They're living near Guatemala's giant Marlin gold mine, one of the most productive in the hemisphere. But, you know, when you live – next to a mine, you're probably the first and most impacted by whatever they're doing, good and bad.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so the Mayans, the indigenous people there in this area, and what do they say?
Well, they say that the mine has brought health, environmental, and human rights woes. And a woe is a kind of suffering, a kind of trial. Mm-hmm. So the Mayans do not sound happy because their health, environment, and even their rights are being negatively affected.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we know about health and environment. What would be like human rights woes that they would be giving up?
Maybe they feel like their land is being taken without, you mm-hmm. know, without any money given to them, or okay. maybe some of them are being forced to work. I don't know.
Maybe. They probably feel like they have no representation. These are truly a powerless group of people that most of the politicians find easy to ignore. Mm-hmm. And maybe even if they speak up, they're punished. If they protest against like a company mistreating them, so they don't feel like they've got any power in this situation. So now, one organization is at least trying to help them out, right?
Yes, the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights represented 18 villages around the mine and asked in 2010 for them to suspend their mine operations.
Okay. All right. So this group is trying to organize the villagers, help them out, and then in 2010 asked the Guatemalan government to suspend operations, just stop everything. Okay, let's stop before we move forward. And let's put some standards into place, put some rules into place for these companies to comply with, protect the villagers, and let's get this to be a fair situation. Sounds good, right?
Sounds good, but neither the state nor the mining corporation complied, so mining went on. So unfortunately, it does sound like a David versus Goliath struggle, and Goliath is not backing down.
All right, so when we say neither the state, we mean the government? And it could be the Guatemalan national government and also the state government, the local government, or the company. They didn't comply. They didn't go along with this request by the group that was trying to help the villagers. Why not? Why not?
Gold is money. I can see why Goldcorp wouldn't want to comply, but it sounds like some people very high up politically may have been paid off if they're refusing to help their own, you know, villagers.
Yeah, it's certainly Goldcorp has their motives, but also the government representatives probably were not very motivated to stop things.
Probably not, and maybe the mines themselves don't have a lot of political power at this time.
Yeah, in a lot of cases that has happened in the past where the companies will come in and they will bribe the government officials, whether it's a national or local level. As Joanna said, there's a lot of money involved in this, and so the money's going to be flying around to get things done.
Money causes corruption in lots of different ways, and you'll very rarely find people who will stop earning money for like a social reason, just to be nice.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Yeah, they're not going to worry about this group up there. And again, it's a distance thing. It's if I'm not seeing it on a daily basis, I'm not involved in this, maybe I'm not going to care.
That's right.
Let it go. So, all right. Let's get on with our last section of today.
Respectful relationships. Whittall said his exploration company fosters good relations in communities where it works, viewing it as economic common sense. If you're trying to sell a company, one of the highest and most important assets to have is a tranquil community that is on side with potential development, he said. Mining companies, he said, should hold to the precept that you're a guest in the country. It is not rocket science. It's just being respectful.
Okay, we do finish with some positive notes here in our last section titled Respectful Relationships. And we're going to hear from, we go back to Richard Whittall of New Strike Capital. We met him yesterday. And he was talking about Mexico and some mining areas there. So he reappears in our article in this section.
Yes, he does. And he says that his exploration company fosters good relations in the communities where they work there in Mexico, apparently. So they're building relationships and they view it as economic common sense.
Okay. What do you think he means by economic common sense?
Well, he's looking out for himself financially, but it sounds like he's not just there for the money. Maybe it's economically beneficial to have good relations if he wants to stay in that place for years and years and years without difficulty from local people and governments. It pays to be a good house guest.
Yeah. Yeah. If you are looking at it the long term, like Joanna said, long term, you have to use some common sense, economic common sense, and say, all right, I'm not looking just to make a lot of money on this for 6 months and then leave and just leave everybody in bad shape. But we're looking to be here for 5, 10, 15 years. How do we do that? And how do we have everybody benefit from that? Not just the company and the shareholders, but also the local people and the whole region. So that would be good economic common sense. And we've got a quote in the next paragraph.
Yes, he goes on to say, if you're trying to sell a company, one of the highest and most important assets to have is a tranquil community that is on side with potential development, according to Whittall. So I suppose he's saying if you're trying to sell one of these mining companies to somebody, it really helps if you do already have established good relationships with the community.
Tranquil.
Peaceful. Calm.
Well, I'm just picturing so many of these rural, remote areas. They are tranquil. And then, boom, here comes company.
Here comes the company.
And it changes everything. And again, it brings along a lot of these wildcat miners, independent operators. And along with that comes some of the other problems that we did talk about that article last year about that highway in Peru and Brazil. One of the problems they had was they had bars being built in the town to cater to all the miners and the employees, bars. And then that attracted prostitution. It attracted drugs. So all of a sudden, this tranquil place was just turned upside down because all of a sudden 1,000, 2,000 new people came into town and it attracted all of this other peripheral stuff that ended up ruining the tranquility of many of these communities. You can see now why the villagers would be protesting. They'd say, hey, we had a nice life here. What happened? You guys destroyed it.
Don't blame them.
Yeah. So, all right. Now, we do finish here. We get back to Richard Whittall in our last paragraph.
He says that mining companies should hold to this precept or rule of behavior that you're a guest in the country. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's just being respectful.
Now, it's a funny thing that rocket science, we say that sometimes.
That's right. We say something is not rocket science, meaning it's not that complicated.
Yeah. And also we might say it to mean don't complicate things. Let's just keep it simple. So, and he means it's just being respectful, right?
Yes. I imagine if you're trying to put down roots for your company in a foreign land or if you're looking to sell sometime, it's that much easier if you're not trying to also pass off a bunch of local social woes, as we said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's just common sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he's talking about the foreign companies coming into the country. And as I mentioned earlier, in most cases when the foreign companies are entering, in today's world, they usually have a lot of rules to follow. And we say another cliche is they have a lot of hoops to jump through, and that which means they have a lot of qualifications to meet before they are allowed to operate in these countries. Decades ago, it wasn't the case. 50 years ago, 100 years ago, big companies used to just go pay off the presidents of these Latin American countries and just move in and just take everything and then leave. That's changed because of the media, TV, internet. There's too much media now for big companies to get away with this stuff. The problem, as I mentioned, is now a lot of the local people, the smaller independent operators, they operate not following the rules. So it's important that the local people also be aware of what is the impact on our environment. Let's not just take advantage of this situation. So listeners, I hope this article, Quest for Gold Brings Conflict, has educated you about the consequences of this rising demand for gold. If you have a thought on this, please go to our Facebook page. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for joining us. Till next time, this is Bill.
Joanna.
Brian.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.